Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Pastor Steve W. Smith. He's the co-founder and president of the Potter's Inn, which is a spiritual ministry dedicated to the care of leaders in the marketplace and in ministry. And he's actually pastored churches in various parts of the States and in the Netherlands. And I'd like to welcome you to LifeQuest, Pastor.
Hey, thank you for having me. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, I know you're an author of several books, and the one I'd like to talk with you today is called Inside Job. I got to tell you, when I first saw the book and unwrapped it, I thought it was about Inside Job, and I thought that's going to be interesting. But Inside Job, doing the work within the work. Pastor, why did you write this book at this time?
Well, Dwight, I work with leaders all over the world, leaders in the marketplace, in business, and as well as pastors and missionaries. And over the years, I've just discovered that there is a common theme, that the lives of leaders are really lived in some quiet desperation. They're on the hamster wheel. They're burning the candle 24/7. They're trying to make life work. They're more in a survival mode than they are a thriving mode. And this busyness and this drivenness that we're feeling, we're kind of masking it under what we call the abundant life. And so many of us are living so thin, spiritually thin, relationally thin, financially thin, that our lives, it's like being on thin ice and there's cracking noise all around us. So I wrote it to really help leaders in the marketplace and in ministry come to understand what it means to really live in more of a posture of thriving than it is surviving.
I would suggest also that not just pastors and leaders and CEO, but many of your general public have some of these same issues.
Well, I think everybody does. I think anybody that is a school teacher, anybody that's a plumber, anybody that works in a small business, we all cast shadows. We all have spheres of influence. And so my whole point is to really help leaders out, because so many times leaders need to be given to. People drain them. They ask them questions. It's like what we do all the time, like a pump at the gasoline station. They have hoses that come out of them in all directions, but what is the hose that goes into the life of the leader? So that's why I wrote Inside Job.
Well, in your second chapter, which you call Signs of the Times, you talk about the fact that there's a culture that has counterfeit morals in it, and you list a number of things there that are in people's lives: a hunger for good fortune, a melancholy about life, and looking just for an anesthetic. That really happens to all, doesn't it?
It really does. I think we live in a very difficult time. I mean, you'd have to be an ostrich with your head in the sand to just not think that this is a challenging time. And for a leader, how do you really lead with integrity? What has happened to character as a leader? And when we chase external markers of success in our life, like the size of our house, our boats, our toys, the kind of cars that we drive, the size of our churches, external markers seem to have become a new god with a little g for so many Christians I know. And so the whole point of Inside Job is to help leaders cultivate what I call inner markers, those inner markers, those inner distinctions that you know that you're living a good life, a life marked by contentment and satisfaction, not robbed of joy and peace. And I think that's why I wrote the book Inside Job, is to help leaders, whether they're in the marketplace or ministry, really learn to live with satisfaction and contentment and not feel like life is half empty, but to really embrace more of a Christian view of work and what that means to enter into the workplace.
Throughout your book, you keep calling us back to certain fundamentals of Christianity, which we seem to be missing. In fact, in the beginning of your book, you talk about what happens to pastors and other leaders is a spiritual posing. And then you list how that even when you've talked to staff members and church people, you know, somebody say, well, the senior pastor was a control freak. It was his way or the highway. And you say, well, this isn't the way Christians are supposed to lead.
That's right. I think I use that term spiritual posing because I think it's something everybody can relate to. It's where we talk the talk, but we don't live the walk. And so that's where I found the book of Second Peter so important in my life. You know, Dwight, I'm 61, and I like Second Peter because Peter's an older man. He's a more mature leader. Mm-hmm. He's been around the block, and he tells us time and time again, four or five times, he says, don't forget what I'm about ready to tell you. This is so important. Don't ever forget this. And what he tells us is it's not about just, you know, living as a poser in life. It's about developing these inner qualities that God wants us to have in our life, the quality of integrity, the eight attributes that Peter talks about. They're really virtues. And we're living in a culture and a day in North America, around the world, where leadership without integrity is really a very serious issue. And so Inside Job is really a clarion call for leaders, whether you're a businessman, whether you're married to a businessman, whether mm-hmm. you're a spouse of a youth pastor or an elder or deacon, to really do the inside job. And that's why I say it's doing the work within the work. So we are so fascinated and we give 110% to our work, but as a Christian, we're called to not only just do our external work, but it's that work within the work. It's the inside job where our life can really be whole and integrated and not divided.
I was very interested that you have gotten so much out of the leadership of Peter. Many times we think of a church leader, we automatically go to St. Paul, who was kind of cranky sometimes, it seems.
Yeah.
But Peter, something else.
Yeah, I found Peter fascinating. First of all, Peter began his life as a small business owner. And in every church I've served, you know, churches are made up not of pastors, not of seminary graduates, but of business people, people in the marketplace, people who install carpet, people who are plumbers, doctors, attorneys, school teachers, small business owners. And that's what Peter was. He understood from the DNA of his soul what he really needed to do to get his inside life right. It wasn't just about adopting an external faith. The faith in Jesus Christ really calls us to do inside work. And so that's the whole point of it. And Peter is a master of it. As his life, he fails, he gets up, he blows it with Jesus, but he keeps going. Mm-hmm. And then we see at the end of his life that he's really tapped to become the leader of the church. Paul wasn't even tapped to be that. Yeah. It was Peter in that way. And he just had his roots in the business world, and I love him for that.
You say also very clearly that a healthy leader is always a student. In what way?
I think we get in danger, Dwight, when we're not learning. You know, it's that term called lifelong learner, and that's what discipleship is about. It's not just learning the Ten Commandments and who were the 12 apostles, mm-hmm. but knowing yourself. You know, it was John Calvin, all the Presbyterians who are listening to us today would understand. He said in his Institutes, the greatest way to know God is to know yourself. Uh-huh. And at 61, where I am, Dwight, I'm still learning about myself. I've got a 35-year-old marriage, and I'm still learning about how to really develop love and to really listen more deeply than I ever have, as Gwen and I, my wife and I, are aging, and we're really needing to listen on a deeper level. That's what I mean by a leader always needs to learn, and the culture is changing. You know, this is not the culture of the 70s or the 80s. With all the social forces that we have, with all the Supreme Court rulings that are changing around us,
right.
We need to learn. We need to be students of God and Scripture and of the times that we're living in to know how to speak the truth.
And you're speaking to leaders in some sense. At the same time, sometimes the people that we're working with, let's say in a church situation, they don't like change either. And you just try to change the order of service or which hymn you sing first. And you find out that, well, that isn't the way we used to do it.
Well, you know, there's a whole chapter devoted in the book, Inside Job, to transitions. Mm-hmm. The only constant in life, Dwight, is change. You know, just look in the past 6 weeks what's happened in our country. Mm-hmm. Everything from Caitlyn Jenner coming out to the Supreme Court ruling. Yes. And things are changing, and the speed of change is lightning fast. And we need to be prepared for that. And how do we transition? You know, in my work with leaders all over the world and the marketplace and ministry, leaders are breathless, as are their families. We're giving 110%, and we don't even have 110% to give. There's a chapter in the book, Inside Job, on understanding your limits and how do you really learn to say no so that you can live with a yes in your heart, to your heart, to your relationships. And we just feel guilty sometimes in saying no. And I give the example in the chapter on in Inside Job, Dwight, that Paul even said no at a time when there was an open door of opportunity to preach the gospel. He said, no, I don't think this is the right thing to do. And so I explained that leaders really, just because it's an open door doesn't mean we have to walk through it. Sometimes our motives need to be kind of exposed to the light of God. And I love this poem which says, the heart has many dungeons. Mm-hmm. Bring the light, bring the light. Mm-hmm. And the dungeons in a leader's heart and their spouse and their family. Just this week, I'm working with a couple that's come to Colorado, a doctor and his wife, because he's developed an addiction to his work. He's a workaholic. I'm a recovering workaholic, Dwight, and I know what that's like to leave my wife, my children, my four sons in kind of the dirt, and to be choosing my work over them. And so we need, as a leader, to really do our inside job and to do our homework so that we can live well and lead well. Sometimes leaders, they can sign up for seminars how to lead, how to be a more effective leader, or how to be a high-capacity leader.
Right.
But how then do you live well as you're leading well? And that's what Inside Job is all about. For somebody that really wants to integrate, I want to live well and I want to lead well.
You quote a poem here called Patient Trust. And the first line is great to me. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We pray to God and we know we should, and we then wonder why we don't have the answer we are looking for straight away.
The slow work of God seems to be un-American, doesn't it, Dwight?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we want to microwave ourselves to become mature. And look at Peter. You know, he started off as a business owner, and then at the end of his life, he was the head of the New Testament church. That was a slow work. He kind of took two steps forward, one step back. And that's been my journey. I've been a Christian and a follower of Jesus since 1973. And sometimes, Dwight, I've moved forward, and sometimes I've made mistakes in my leadership. And it's been a slow, steady work. Eugene Peterson calls it a long obedience in the same direction. And I love that. And that's what I think husbands and wives are called to, that long obedience. I think a leader, to avoid a blowout, to not have a marital affair, to not have carnage in your relationship with your coworkers. You know, Dwight, 9 out of 10 partnerships in America fail because of relational fallout. Hmm. And in mission circles, the number one reason why missionaries come home is due to relational blowouts on their team. So Inside Job is helping leaders who are having a sphere of influence in the marketplace or ministry really move towards slow, steady transformation where real change, not pseudo change, but change in the DNA in our soul really happens. And that's what happened to Peter. He changed in the DNA. It wasn't just a Band-Aid change. He changed in the DNA of his heart. And Peter has a lot to teach us in the 21st century.
I'd like to go back to what you were saying about transitions. And you tell the story, and I'd like you to tell the listeners this, about discharging the past, discharging the loyal soldier in among the Japanese.
Yeah, I tell the story because I have four sons. Three of them were officers in the United States Army. And so it's a privilege to have three Army officer sons, but one just got discharged. And I read a story about, in World War II, the defeat and the demise of Japan, what happened, but they were loyal to their soldiers. They really thanked them. And so when my son came home from Iraq and Afghanistan, we had a ceremony in North Carolina where everyone, all of our friends, wrote him a note, affirmed him, celebrated the loyal soldier. Sometimes this needs to happen in the marketplace where that man or that woman that served 25 years, they really need to be thanked. We're moving so fast to replace people, we don't even do the work of really thanking people and honoring people, honoring pastors that have served faithfully.
Yes.
We know how to fire them when they mess up,
right,
and we do that, but to honor those that have stood the test of time and to say thank you for what you mean to me. And I just think we need to do this work, and that's the whole point of that chapter of discharging the loyal soldier. It's we need to do this in our churches and to thank business owners, to thank the coffee shop owner, to thank the waitress that served us eggs every Tuesday morning for our men's study or our women's study. We just need to be more kind. Peter says kindness is one of the hallmarks of the Christian, and I'm just learning more about that, Dwight, in my own life, of how important it is to have a life and leadership marked by kindness, not just efficiency, and not just ending the year in the black, but through kindness and love.
In each of our lives, there are transitions that are hard to make, and we keep going back to them. In fact, in this passage, it mentions here about letting go of a past marriage or a failure instead of trying to redo it or run it past the recording in our minds, but helping us move forward or transitioning, as you said, to a new way of thinking and when to let go.
We have to let go, and Peter had to let go. He had to let go of the times that he denied Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that could have haunted him. Paul had to let go of killing Christians.
Yeah.
They really died at his hand. And so how did he let go of the shame, of the embarrassment, of the failure? And if we don't learn to let go, we find that we're packing our spiritual backpacks full of junk that just weighs us down. It robs us of joy. And so in the book I talk about, it's the picture of a bridge, crossing a bridge over water. And, you know, you're not to that other side yet. Underneath that bridge is kind of white water, the moving water, and it feels like chaos. But as you move towards crossing the bridge, you just become more self-aware of your kids as you've transferred maybe to the Pacific Northwest from the East Coast. There's a lot of change. And so the book Inside Job, really, Dwight, is a practical manual for everyday life. And I appreciate the fact that you like it and that you've invited me on your show.
And in fact, towards the end of the book, you have a chapter 11, about leading with contentment and satisfaction. And and whether it's a leader in our home or, as you said, in our work or the community, those two words, contentment and satisfaction, aren't always going together.
You know, when I ask people that question on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you in life? I rarely hear a number over 7. We're filled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
We're over-medicated. We're not sleeping well at night. We're overstimulated. Our technology is always on. We're always available. And so the whole idea of really what it means to live with contentment, Paul said, I've learned the secret. And I think there is a secret, Dwight. And at 20 years old, a 20-year-old that's listening to us today might define contentment far differently than a 60-year-old.
Yes.
But we need to learn what contentment is all about. And sometimes I think we are so obsessed with those outer markers of what we think is going to give us contentment that we lived with a quiet despair in our life, and it just feels like a very private angst. We don't talk to each other. You know, we're afraid sometimes of really looking within. And I love Jesus so much because, Dwight, he says that the truth sets us free. When we really face the truth of what's inside of us, we don't have to be afraid. It's part of when David said, Lord, give me an undivided heart, I find that that is such a brilliant prayer, because so many times we as men and women live divided lives. We're one way at home and one way in the marketplace, mm-hmm. and it's not integrated. So there comes to be cultivated within us a sense of deep contentment and deep satisfaction as we bring our outside life together with our inner world.
Again, folks, the book is Inside Job, Doing the Work Within the Work by Stephen W. Smith. It's an InterVarsity Press publication. Where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
Well, they can get it through their local bookstore. They can order it on Amazon.com. And more information, and you can order it directly through us by going to myinsidejob.org, mm-hmm. myinsidejob.org. And Dwight, there's also a study guide, a companion guide that we've developed that's perfect for men or women or churches or businesses to do, and I'm excited that it's out and available. You can Google that. You can get that on Amazon, order it directly through us or a bookstore. So there's a book and a 12-session workbook that's really wonderfully filled with lots of different learning exercises and learning styles. You know, we don't always learn the same way. Some of us prefer this and some of us prefer that. But in the workbook, we've kind of wedded all the different learning styles so people can cut and paste and pick and choose how they want to learn about doing their inside job.
Pastor Smith, thanks so much for being with us today on Life Quest.
Dwight, I appreciate it. Thank you for all the listeners, and I hope people will join me in the journey of doing their inside job.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.